The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
Let's go!
It's going to be a football game tonight now.
No doubt.
It's going to be a football game.
Here.
Okay.
I've been here before.
All right, let's go, baby.
The nine. Rushing four. Ball comes out of the hands of Newton. It's on the ground, and it's still on the ground. Picked up by T.J. Ward at the four-yard line. Vaughn Miller did it again.
Of the college football world.
Ladies and gentlemen, football to the max.
Your host, Sean Garmer, Gary Vaughn, and Randy Isbell.
Hello and welcome to another Football to the Max College Edition, as we are going to be talking about some games that happened on Thursday. Thing that is going on in the Big Ten for next year that people are making a big deal out of. And we'll also, of course, be previewing the games that are happening on Saturday. So pretty big matchups going on. Gary is not here. He's got to help his wife prepare for a big wedding that I think her little company is helping plan. So he's got to be up in about an hour and a half. So, it's just going to be Randy and I doing this here. What's up, Randy?
Oh, not too much. Just ready to talk about some exciting college football for sure.
Yeah, so Iowa State gave Oklahoma a bit of a scare here on this Thursday night. Not something Oklahoma played. You know, not a day that Oklahoma just plays on all the time. But Baker Mayfield went off 328 yards and four touchdowns. Joe Mixon was suspended for a game. But it's okay. They got through it. D.D. Westbrook still going crazy on the receiving end here. But Oklahoma able to win their sixth straight game.
Yeah, nice to see Oklahoma continue to right the ship after, you know, a disappointing start to the season. You can kind of tell they let off the gas a little bit in the second half. You know, four touchdowns by Mayfield in the first half and just a couple of field goals after. And hold on to a 10-point victory, but if they want to get themselves back into, you know, not playoff contention, because I think that's out the window, but, you know, those New Year Day bowls, they got to get going a little bit and put away teams as sad as Iowa State.
Yeah, I mean, Iowa State's been gave a few teams. They gave Baylor a big test. They gave Oklahoma State a big test. So it's not out of the question here for Iowa State to do this. I think, like you said, the Oklahoma really should have had that foot on the gas and kind of made sure they put Iowa State away. They got the win. It's kind of what matters at this point. They got a big game against Baylor next week. Obviously, it makes a big difference if Baylor makes sure they do what they're supposed to do on Saturday. But, yeah, they show they could put up points. They're obviously going to have to be able to do that against Baylor, who also puts up points. But are you looking confident for that seventh win next week, or?
It's tough to say. It's nice for Oklahoma to be able to get a few extra days to prepare for it, but they know it's ahead of them. It's a tough team in Baylor, a tough offense, who are looking to bounce back from their first loss of the season here last week. So, but not just that, but it's just a tough road as it is for Oklahoma. Three straight games against three ranked teams to finish the season. If they can run the table, who knows? They might be able to get into that top 6-7. Maybe somehow get back into playoff contention if all of the dominoes fall, which I don't see happening, but you never know. So Like I said, it would have been nicer to see them kind of blow out Iowa State like they did Kansas last week. But you could kind of tell they were looking ahead to the big time matchup against Baylor, and we'll see if they're ready for it next week.
Yeah, so we had a big high scoring game, and then we also had a very low scoring game that was pretty tight with both teams kind of being tied at 10 going into the fourth quarter. And then it took a punt return of the 68-yard variety by Colorado to get the win. Colorado, 8 personal fouls in this game, 25 penalties in total, and 4 turnovers for Colorado. Jeez. And they still win. Of course, UCLA playing without Josh Rosen. He's out for the rest of the year with a shoulder injury. So that obviously affects what UCLA is going to do on offense. But Colorado, man. They should be doing a heck of a lot better than this.
Yeah, Colorado is still that team that just wins ugly. Last week they beat Stanford 10-5 of all things. Add this to a short week. I mean, you can't excuse the penalties and the turnovers, but they're still finding a way to get things done. They still have a one-game lead in the South over Utah and USC. But a couple tough matches ahead for them as well. I mean, they get Arizona, a team they should take care of pretty easily. But I thought they should have taken care of UCLA a bit easier without Josh Rosen. But then you get Washington State and Utah, and that Utah game basically could be for the South to get to that Pac-12 championship game. So this is a team that, you know, their record says one thing. Their play on the field the last few weeks says something completely different.
Yeah, totally. I mean, not that, like you said, Colorado's just been this team that just scores. They don't really. It's their defense that kind of does things, but like committing 4 turnovers, that's hard to win a game regardless. And then you also get your kicker that gets a kick block. They're playing with their third string kicker because they got 2 guys out, and then UCLA's kicker misses 2 kicks and gets another one blocked. So kicker's just not doing well for this game either.
Well, we're teaching them young how to miss crucial field goals.
Yeah, at least then it's a little bit more excusable in college, but still, you don't want to see this happening. It's kind of just sad sometimes to watch this thing. There's probably other games that happen on Thursday, but these are the two big ones. The thing with Big Ten is that their new TV contract starts next year, and they will be playing 6 games on Friday. There's already been teams that are not playing. Michigan says they won't even play any games on Friday. They're just not doing it. Jim Harbaugh's like, not having any of that. Ohio State's probably not hosting a game because they don't want to miss out on having one of their big Saturday games. The big deal here seems to be that everybody's concerned about recruiting because obviously Friday is high school night for a football game, so they miss a game that they could be going out there recruiting because they actually have to be preparing to play a game. And Penn State also said that they are not in for hosting games on Friday nights because they know that high school football is really important. Michigan State says they'll only host a Friday night game if it's over Labor Day weekend. Man, seems like why would you make this schedule if a lot of the teams don't really want to do this?
Because this is exactly what happens in the NCAA. You know, football minds have one aspect of things, and the guys actually running the conferences have just sight on money. This TV contract and these Friday games are strictly money. They know that if they have, you know, some Big Ten matchups on Friday, they have zero competition and they're going to get the ad revenue because, you know, all of these sponsors are going to want to be in the Big Ten game that's solo on a Friday night. And they're missing the aspects of all the football, like they said. You know, so many states that are represented in the Big Ten Conference are huge high school states. I mean, there are a lot of those states that you see represented on ESPN. I was watching a little bit of a high school football game today. So they understand where that is, not just recruiting, but just the fact that, you know, their fans want to go to high school football games on Friday, college Saturday, pro Sunday. That's just how things have worked for so long. So I can understand where they're upset because, you know, for once, it sounds like some of these schools are actually thinking about the kids and actually thinking about, you know, the actual football side of this deal and not just the money side, which the conference is looking at. So I'm surprised that, you know, things like this don't butt heads a lot more often, especially with some of these Wednesdays and Thursday games that we've had lately. But it would be interesting to see who comes out on top. I guarantee you it's the conferences, though.
Yeah, this is going to go through 2022. So they're going to have to deal with this. Wisconsin's also not happy about this thing either. You know, the other thing, too, is that the recruiting process is also bringing those high school kids to those big games and letting them see, like, this is the kind of crowd you're playing in front of. This is what you're going to be able to experience. Well, you don't get that if they're having to play a game. They can't go to your game and experience this is the day that they miss out on, too. So, you know, it goes both ways. It's the team people wanting to go to those high school games on Fridays, and then those kids wanting to come to the big games on Saturdays, but they can't because it's on a Friday.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I don't know the exact solution. Obviously, it's been signed, so now we just kind of see where it goes from there. But yeah, it's a mess, and that's just college football. Or excuse me, college sports in general lately is just a big giant mess between competition and wanting to make money.
Certainly. So, of course, wanting to make money means playing well on the field for your team, and that's what all these teams are going to try to do in these games that are coming up. Boise State plays first on Friday as they are still ranked at number 24. Of course, now the rankings will reflect the college football playoff rankings that came out on Tuesday. We talked about that on the Tuesday show that we did, so if you want to hear our thoughts on all of that, you can go and listen to that show. Boise State taking on San Jose State in Boise. I think Boise is 29.5 for Boise. I think they're going to be mad about losing. They're at home. They usually play much better there. I think they roll San Jose State.
I would like to say they roll, but they've struggled lately. Yes, you know, the loss to Wyoming happened in shocking fashion, and it was on the road. But you look at their last two wins, you know, against BYU, it was only a one-point victory, and they beat Colorado State by 5. And I don't think Colorado State's that good. So they've struggled here a little bit recently. So I don't think it's a blowout, but I do think Boise State will go ahead and handle San Jose State in this game.
Louisville playing another noon game, taking on Boston College. It's 25 in favor of Louisville. Yeah, I'm taking Louisville here. Boston College is what, they just won their first conference game in like forever?
I don't see them winning a second. Louisville is hanging on to playoff hopes, and they're not going to do that by even letting Boston College stay close in this game. I like Louisville big.
Me too. We move on to Texas A&M taking on Mississippi State. It is in Starkville, and Mississippi State's played some teams tough. Texas A&M 13.5 here. I'll take Texas A&M, but perhaps maybe a little bit closer than that 13.5 there.
Yeah, this is the chance for Texas A&M to really show that they belong in that top four. They've played some really tough competition. A little interested to see if they overlook a Mississippi State and look forward to their Ole Miss game next week. But you can't do that when you're hanging on to their own playoff hopes. So I like Texas A&M here. I would give the points.
So we get Auburn at home with a 26 on the line against Vanderbilt, who's, you know, been one of those teams this year and not very good.
Not at all.
And rolls.
Yeah, I agree. Auburn's been playing so well since that loss to Texas A&M about a month and a half ago. So I like them a lot here too.
And if you haven't watched Cameron Pettyway or Petway, he has been great rushing the ball for Auburn. So definitely, I think this is a game where he goes big as well. Gets over that 1,000-yard mark, which he's like 77 yards away from breaking. So we get to Wisconsin taking on a Northwestern team that gave Ohio State some problems last week. It is in Illinois, Wisconsin with a 7-point advantage here.
Yeah, I think last week I did mention that, you know, I was worried about Ohio State going up against Northwestern. I thought it was going to be close. Unfortunately, this one will not be at home. Or no, excuse me, this will be at home for Northwestern. So that's tougher for Wisconsin, who, you know, come off a huge win against Nebraska in overtime. Did you think maybe a possible letdown? I'm going to go Wisconsin here, but do not be surprised if the Wildcats can pull the upset.
Yeah, I was going to go that route too. Don't be surprised at all. I'm going to go Wisconsin just because I think they know if they have any shot here. You want to get to that Big Ten championship game. You got to keep winning. And Wisconsin going to get it done. But again, that defense makes it to where you always want to go with them, but the offense being at times inept looking, it has to worry you. So, not too confident about if I go in Wisconsin. North Carolina at home against a Georgia Tech team that hasn't been too good this year. 10.5 for UNC at Chapel Hill.
Yeah, that offense for Georgia Tech always gives teams trouble just with all their option play. North Carolina has been playing solid lately since their loss to Virginia Tech a couple weeks ago. You know, Georgia Tech's been putting up points, but their defense I don't think is good enough. I'm taking North Carolina here.
North Carolina should win this game without a doubt, honestly. Michigan taking on Maryland. Maryland was undefeated at one point, then they kept losing. They lost once and kept losing. Michigan at home, 31. Yeah, Michigan's winning.
I think I say Michigan by about 45 in this game.
Yeah, they have been just racking at the points on people. Would not be surprised at that. This is another one. Clemson. Now, listen, Syracuse has been interesting in some games this year. But I think Clemson knows that they cannot afford another one of these. Oh, we're going to play it like crap against one of these teams we really should be knocking it out of the park against. Clemson wins. You're at home. A 27 advantage here. Clemson.
Yeah, Syracuse, when they lose big. But if you let them stick around in the game, they could pull the upset. I like Clemson to jump out early and just put their foot down.
Virginia Tech against Duke. Now, Duke is also interesting. They're 0-4 in the ACC, so this kind of leads me to Virginia Tech should take care of business here, but it is in Durham. Virginia Tech with a 10.5.
Yeah, I would go Virginia Tech here as well. Duke is definitely starting to go back to the olden times when they were the worst football in the league. They're not anywhere near the worst team in college football, but struggling from when they used to contend in the ACC. So I'll take the Hokies.
Yeah, I'll take Virginia Tech too. I mean, it's hard to be the worst when you got Virginia in there. But like you said, they're getting back to that point again. Oklahoma State taking on Kansas State at home. Kansas State beat Texas. They play team stuff because they got that defensive mentality. They've actually got Kansas State as a 2.5-point favorite. Before I even saw this line, I was going to say Kansas State at home. I'm going to take them in the upset here.
Yeah, this one's going to be one of the more interesting games of the week. Obviously, Oklahoma State should only have the one loss if the call against Central Michigan would have been called, but we've said it many times. They shouldn't have even let them stay in this game. And they've run off 4 in a row, been able to kind of run and hide from a few of their opponents, but Kansas State's tough, losing to West Virginia by 1. Got beat up by Oklahoma, but it was on the road. They're at home here. I'm going to say Oklahoma State, but I'm not that confident in it.
a game that is usually much bigger than it is this time. Baylor taking on TCU. It's in Waco. Baylor with an 8-point line here. I'm going to take Baylor. This is probably going to be a bigger shootout than it really should be. Just because of TCU and Baylor, they always play each other like that. But I'm going to say Baylor. But, man, this is one of those times where I'm not confident just because it's TCU. And you never know. You never know. But they just they have not been the team that you think of TCU as they have in years past.
Now, this is one of those interesting games where we kind of see the mentality of these college kids. You know, an undefeated Baylor team has a big letdown against Texas, takes their playoff hopes completely out the window, but they still have a chance at the Big 12. They win this game, then they get Oklahoma, and that's a chance to really, you know, put their foot in the door and still win this conference. So I see them, you know, bouncing back here and beating TCU.
Florida taking on Arkansas. It's in Fayetteville. Florida's got a 4 on the line here. Arkansas's been weird. They've been able to stay in games with teams, but then they lose. I mean, some of the teams that they've lost to are some of the, you know, Texas A&M, Alabama. Those are some big teams to lose. So they lost big to Auburn, who's obviously now high in the rankings as well. They did beat Ole Miss. At home, Arkansas usually plays really well. I'm going to give it to Florida, very begrudgingly here.
Yeah, I totally agree with Arkansas. I still do not understand that team at all, but I do understand Florida. Other than their loss to Tennessee, they have not given up more than 14 points in a single game. Arkansas can put up the points, no problem, but they're so up and down, it's tough to believe in them. Yes, they're at home, and that helps, but I'm going to take the Gators as well.
God, this sucks for doing these rankings that we do, Randy. Washington State and Arizona start at midnight Eastern time. I might be going into work when this game finally ends. But Washington State should learn from what they did against Oregon State and put this game away early and not have to do the come from behind thing. Arizona's 0-5 in the Pac-12.
Where did you see the midnight start time? I have a 1 p.m. Pacific time start for me.
I have a 12 a.m. Eastern. Maybe this is a misprint here on ESPN, but 12 a.m.
I don't know. Weird, because we were just talking about how it was going to be done before we had a bowl that Saturday. So I think it's a day game, but don't quote me on it.
Yeah, I think Washington State at 17. I'll take that.
Yeah, they play so much better at home, and they're on a roll as of late. Arizona has just been awful, so give me the Cougars.
West Virginia, after losing to Oklahoma State and losing their undefeated status, drops to number 20. They're taking on Kansas. Kansas is terrible, absolutely terrible. West Virginia better be taking those 34.5 and doubling that or something.
Kansas, the perfect remedy to make up for a loss. An easy win here for West Virginia.
Certainly. NC State, which got obliterated by Louisville but gave Clemson a bunch of trouble. It's in Raleigh, Florida State, 5.5 only.
Yeah, Florida State, you know, 3 tough losses in conference, all against basically the top 3 teams, Clemson, Louisville, North Carolina. I don't put NC State in that conversation. I'm taking the Seminoles.
Yeah, I'm taking Florida State here. You do have to wonder if there's going to be a letdown game, but yeah, Florida State for sure. Iowa coming in and taking on Penn State. It's in Happy Valley. Penn State by 7. I think I'm okay with that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I did think that Purdue had a chance against Penn State last week, and in the first half it was close, and Penn State completely pulled away in the second half and made it look like it was a complete blowout. I could see the same thing happening here, not by as big of a margin as they had in that game. Iowa does have a great defense, but I would say it's close at halftime, and you're thinking possible upset, and by the end of it, they probably have a 17-point victory.
Certainly. For the record, Louisiana Tech is beating North Texas really bad. I was going to say that. Louisiana Tech's been good this year. Two games that are on our pick'em that we have to do. I'm not, like, too enthused about really having a pick from here, but Navy taking on Notre Dame.
I believe this game is in...
It's in Jacksonville.
Yeah, I was going to say it was in a mid location. Notre Dame's an awful. Give me Navy in that game. But just because it's a neutral site and I don't have that much confidence, I had it as a one.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Navy as well just because they've been the better team this year. But, geez, I don't know what to do with that one here. And neither do I with this other one, this other Naval Academy or this other Military Academy matchup. Air Force taking on Army. Both teams are 5-3. It's at West Point. Army with a 1-point line here. I'll go with Air Force just because I have a little bit more faith in them.
Yeah, as far as record goes this year, they're very equal. But as far as this rivalry goes, Air Force owns this rivalry. They've won 17 of the last 19 matchups going back to 1996. And all 17 of those wins have been by double digits. I like the Falcons.
Then we get into the three very important matchups that are going on here. We'll go with Washington taking on California. It's in California. Always interesting, these Golden Bears. Which team's going to show up? I'm still going to go with Washington here, though.
Yeah, very interesting matchup only because it's in California. You look at California this year, they're 4-0 at home. They're 0-4 on the road, taking on a stout Washington team who had everything they could ask for against Utah last week. Could this be a letdown? Are they going to be able to stop the high-powered offense of the Bears? I'm going to take Washington here, but put it in a middle range as far as confidence goes. I can see the upset happening.
Yeah, certainly. I can see the upset happening here, too, for sure. Nebraska, I mean, they've already upset Texas and Utah. So leave it to Washington. You know, wouldn't be surprised if Washington gets the trifecta. In Columbus, Nebraska coming in after their loss to Wisconsin, taking on Ohio State. I think Ohio State wins this. I don't know that it's necessarily that close, honestly.
I think it's going to be decently close. It'll be a fun matchup going into the fourth quarter. But give me the better talent. Give me the better coach. Give me the home field advantage. And give me the team that is on the doorstep for the playoffs to make a statement and close out Nebraska. I'm taking Ohio State, and it's actually my 10.
I'm taking Ohio State here, too. And then your number one ranked Alabama Crimson Tide against the LSU Tigers. This is a dangerous game. These two teams always play each other really tough. Man, this upset could happen. It's in Baton Rouge, of all places. But if there's a team that I trust to go into hostile territory and get it done, it is Nick Saban's team. I'm going to go with Alabama.
Yeah, you say these games are always tough. You look at the last six times Alabama has gone to LSU. It has come down to three losses, two overtime wins, and a win on a last-second drive. So they either lose or they barely find a way to win. But this Alabama team just seems head and shoulders above everyone else. They found a way to completely shut down Leonard Fournette last year. I think they do the exact same thing here. I'm taking Alabama to finally find a way to win in a nice fashion in this game, not have it go down to the last seconds.
That would behoove them. Just you don't want to do that, honestly. Don't give them any chance to think that LSU is winning here. Some other interesting matchups that are unranked. happening on this Saturday as well. You get your Miami and Pitt. That should be fun. You get your Texas Tech and Texas, which is that's going to be outrageous as far as the scoring is concerned, because you know those two teams are going to be putting up some points. I'm scrolling through and see if South Carolina can beat Missouri, because interestingly enough, as bad as the East is, if somehow Florida loses the next few conference games, Tennessee and South Carolina are in play in that East again. So, you know, I don't think that's going to happen, but you never know. USC and Oregon, too, that's always an interesting one. So, anything you want to say before we get out of here?
No, just, again, really nice to see some of these big ranked matchups going here as the season kind of winds down. It's always frustrating that, you know, week 10 already in college football, and then you see some top five team playing Tulsa or something dumb. So it's nice to see these Alabama LSU matchups or Ohio State Nebraska, you know, as they continue to battle it out for the playoffs. I think teams are starting to understand, and it was shown in the first call or the playoff rankings just this week that, you know, your schedule matters. Texas A&M is number four right now because they've beaten four ranked teams over a team that hasn't lost yet. So they're showing that if you go out and you schedule tough competition, even if you have a loss, you know, we're going to give you the benefit of the doubt and rank you a little bit higher. So it's nice to see some of these big matchups as we close out the season.
Certainly, yeah. You definitely want to see games that matter, games that are going to be big. You know, this week is definitely interesting because next week you don't have a ton of these. So it is nice to see when you get some of these ranked teams against each other. But, yeah, until the Tuesday morning show, that's it for this here. So we will see you later.
The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.